0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get confirmation of the post-split fixtures. Celtic can win the title at Hearts in under a fortnight with a trip to Ibrox the following week. Stuart Robertson is stepping down as Rangers CEO to be replaced by James Bisgrove, and Hibs await the outcome of James Jago's controversial red card appeal from the weekend. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
It's been a busy Tuesday so far, Gordon. The post fixture split, the post split fixtures
came
out. I know, got that messed up.
Good stuff.
Anyway, the fixtures came out. It shows where Celtic can win the league, and if they don't win it at Tynecastle, they have the opportunity to do it at Ibrox. And then just before we come on air, Stuart Robertson leaving Rangers as the reshuffle at the top of the club goes on. I'm sure a lot of Rangers fans will have their say in that, and that's before we get to the build up of the big game at the weekend also.
Yeah, it's never quiet in Scottish football after an exciting weekend. I hope you boys enjoyed your weekend off. It was great in here without you. But obviously the split there is out now. We see who's playing each other in the running, top and bottom. There's a lot of exciting games, a lot of important games at both ends of the table. And as Mark quite rightly says, all eyes will probably focus on Sunday and Saturday semi-final of Scottish Cup.
0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you then. As if all that is not enough, St Mirren fans, one in particular for you at 7 o'clock tonight. The good look standard in the studio will rise because your captain Mark O'Hara is going to come in and stand in between these two and join us for the second hour of the show. So we look forward to that. And listen, this time last week we had a bit of a debate about player of the year, and loads of people were talking about the season Mark O'Hara had, even from out with the St Mirren fan base. So it'll be good to get his thoughts after the buddies made that top six finish at the weekend. So you can get your questions into us for him over there on Twitter or on the phones from 7 o'clock onwards. And for the first hour, let's get stuck right into all those talking points. So many. What do you make of the post-split fixtures? We could probably do a 6-hour show on that, because the split always throws up anomalies in terms of home and away fixtures. You've then got TV choices and various other things that tend to annoy people about the post-split fixture scheduling. Celtic fans, we do now know you can win the title at Tynecastle in your next league game. And then if that doesn't happen, we know we always look at, with a lot of interest to see when the final Old Firm game will be. And it's the following one, and that's at Ibrox, of course. So any of your thoughts on the post-split fixtures, get them in. Rangers fans, you wanted change. Many of you wanted change. And in the last couple of weeks, it's chairman, sporting director and CEO all gone. So what do you make of the latest edition of that? Stuart Robertson to leave Rangers at the end of the season, and James Bisgrove, who's obviously there already in a commercial and marketing role, will become the new CEO. So what do you make about that? Are you happy about that ultimately? Is that the right decision? Are you happy about it? Do you still have reservations? What do you make of the overall change in direction? Is this new chairman John Bennett making moves quickly? What do you think of everything that's going on there? 0141 951 1025. What a week we've got in store, Mark Wilson.
Remarkable. I mean, as said there, all eyes will be on the weekend. Two semi-finals, two huge occasions for four clubs, starting with Falkirk v Inverness, then obviously the big one on Sunday. But everything in between, you know, the fixtures coming out, it's always intriguing. And when Celtic have got 3 points just to win the title, all eyes were on when that was going to be. Now, I guess every Celtic fan would have hoped that that could have been a home game. Barring that, they would have loved to have won the title at Ibrox. Barring that, their third choice would have probably been Tynecastle. So they've got the opportunity to do it away at Tynecastle. If not, then, you know, away to Rangers before their home game's coming up. So it's just been fascinating. And then the big one, you're right, Gordon, to highlight, big news, Stuart Robertson leaving, because
huge.
With Ross Wilson leaving, we chatted about the banners that the Rangers fans were holding up, and right on that banner next to Ross Wilson was Stuart Robertson's face with the cross through it. So is it the right decision? Well, you know, the Rangers chairman, maybe, and the board, listening to the fans on this occasion, we all know what fan power can do. It's change at the top and big change at that. Will it take the club in the direction that's needed? Well, only time will tell.
You just wonder how the Rangers fans are feeling tonight, because it wasn't that not too long ago, Gordon, you mentioned Fir Park when it was a very hard sight for the people sitting in the director's box looking to the right hand side. You look at Rangers now, they want it changed. The fans want it changed. They've got it. The chairman's gone. Stuart Robinson's gone. Ross Wilson's gone. So you just wonder, what way is it now forward for Rangers getting into next season, and probably a massive game coming up on Sunday as well?
Well, answer the man, Rangers fans. How do you feel about that news today? Is it good news for you? Is that a direction you want to see the club heading in? Do you still have reservations? Or give us all your thoughts. 01419511025. Alec is going to kick us off tonight though with the post-split fixtures. What do you make of them, Alec?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I just find it very strange that Celtic have got two away games, Gordon, to start with. I mean, obviously, we hope to win the league at Tynecastle now, but would it not be better for the supporters to let 60,000 into Celtic Park rather than, I think we get 1,100 tickets for Tynecastle? I mean, the league's going to, we're going to win the league, be it at Tynecastle or Ibrox or even the following week against Murn, we're going to win it. We only need the one out of the five games. So would it not have been better for the home support? 60,000. We have a great travelling support that puts a lot of money into a lot of clubs all around the country. Would it not have been better to say, right, let's thank these guys and let them have a home game first?
I actually thought it was less than that, you know, the allocation for Tynecastle, but we don't need to argue about that right now, because there's every chance you know more than me about that, Alec. Mark, I think most Celtic fans will probably feel that way. Is that something you expected when you saw those fixtures come out?
Yeah, I expected there to be a home game first. Get it over and done, mate. We always hear about this obsession is, oh, they can't have Celtic and Rangers facing off for the title decider. So I thought there might have been a better way of juggling it. However, I don't know the ins and outs that goes into putting, you know, five fixtures on for all those clubs and all the permutations that they have to take into consideration with who's played so many home games and fitting all in. So I don't know what that takes. But having Hearts away followed by Rangers away, quite unusual, you know. And look, Ange Postecoglou will not moan. You won't hear him complain.
I think he has referenced it today, speaking to Celtic TV, I assume. Like, I don't think it was a big moan as such, but anyway.
Well, I would be surprised if he made a big song and dance about it. Maybe he'll say the same as Alec, that he would have much preferred a home game, but they'll just need to roll their sleeves up and get on with it, like they have done all season. A bit of a kick in the teeth for the Celtic fans, right enough, who would want to see it wrapped up. However, is there a possibility that they lose two games and then it has to go further down the line?
I suppose this is what's difficult, Gordon, because the split is it's a unique phenomenon, right? When you get to this stage, you're not going to cherry pick, you know what I mean? You're not going to be able to design it exactly as everyone wants. And I completely get where Alec's coming from, because if I was a Celtic fan, I'd probably feel that way as well. But at the same time, this is assuming they win at Tynecastle, and you see how that's difficult, because you and I and Mark, we all think they'll probably win, and they'll probably win the title. But it's not actually a given. Everybody just sort of assumes it is, and they know that they're close. And I guess this is the difficulty when you kinda are selecting fixtures, you're kinda cherry picking them, but you're not really. And then you've got, as Mark says, so the way I understand roughly the way it works, the SPFL in conjunction with, I guess, the police, they'll set out the fixture list, and then Sky will come and try and look at what games they're going to show. The clubs all set up this bizarre scenario for some people that you can only do televised games from each stadium four times in a season, which then changes things slightly as well. So it was never going to be easy, and I think we've seen that play out today.
Yeah, I think there's more to it than, you know, supporters think just putting games together to suit the league title when they're going to win it. Yes, of course, if you're a Celtic fan, you're a bit, I think you'd be a bit disappointed. Hearts away, as you say, the allocation is not great there because Hearts have got such a big home support. Then Rangers, none allowed in the stadium, as Mark's saying, what happens if they don't have two good results? But it's unfortunate for them. I'd be a bit disappointed if I was in the green and white thinking, right, when's the league going to be won? If that was a tight situation, I think we'd have more phone calls. If that was sort of the points gap at the top, very, very close, because you would see out of that post-split, for me, Rangers have come out at the better. They've come out with three home games against the top teams, Aberdeen, Celtic, and
Hearts. Again, that also depends on where you've played earlier on in the season, doesn't it? And it's never easy to totally please everyone in that regard. But Alec, do you expect it to be wrapped up at Tynecastle?
Well, obviously, we've had a few good results last year that they beat us there. But I mean, we're going to win the title. I would hope that it's done in the first game, and then Rangers can give us a guard of honour as we run out to Ibrox.
That'll be a good argument for next week. Yeah, I think that'll happen, Mark.
I doubt that.
We had this a couple of seasons ago, didn't we? We had this before, and I don't
think it happened, and I don't think it ever will happen. So,
would you even care, just incidentally?
No, not really. Not if I was a player.
I feel like
I
remember that was the sort of consensus last time. But anyway, like we'll kick that one down the road for a little bit, because we'll probably have to get back to it at some point. Let's see what Ross makes of it all. Ross?
Hi, God, Mark. I hope you're all well.
Hello.
No, I just feel like Celtic fans have been shortchanged today. I think that we should have been given the first home game just due to the fact that we're going to win the league. And I think, out of respect for Celtic, we should have been given the home game to win the league in front of our own fans. So, me being a season ticket holder, I just feel as if the Celtic fans that go away to away games and stuff, effectively been shortchanged, and we're going to win the league without the majority of Celtic fans being there to see it.
I'm so torn on this, because I totally get where you're coming from, Ross, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite about this. If I was you, I'd feel the same. But also, like I said, your feelings there, and Alec before you, and Mark's, and everybody really, is all sort of dependent on this assumption that you're going to beat Hearts, isn't it? And that's where it becomes difficult. Yes, we can, because Celtic are so dominant, because they're so strong, we think we can predict with a relative degree of certainty where they'll win the league. But you're never going to be able to totally cherry pick all the post-split fixtures for all the clubs, are you?
No, I get that. I get obviously the thinking behind it. You need to consider the other 11 clubs and stuff. But I just feel like Celtic should have had the first fixture at home against St Mirren and the last fixture at home against Aberdeen, and had the three away games in the middle. And I don't get how difficult that can become. But
yeah, I think that is the one, Mark. That would be the obvious one. If you made Celtic St Mirren, you know, if that became the first one, now somebody at the SPFL or Police Scotland or whatever will come up with then another piece of the jigsaw as to why that couldn't happen. I can't really see it from here, and neither can Ross.
Yeah.
But do you see what I mean? We do get ourselves in a bit of a mess here, because we almost handpick things anyway, because as you said, we're desperate to avoid this title decider between Glasgow's big two. So we kind of handpick things, but then at the same time, is it maybe just a little bit simplistic to say, we'll give Celtic a home game right at the start so they can win the league in front of their own fans? I know it's unlikely. Celtic might not beat St Mirren on that opening game, and then they need to go away in their next game and win the title in the second game anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm going round in circles a bit. I do appreciate that, but nothing is guaranteed. I think that's what you have to try and remember.
Of course, but you can give the best chance a completing it early on. Now, there must be a reason, Gordon, because...
But why would you do that, though? That's what I mean.
What obligation is there?
Because if we're on one hand saying Celtic have been shortchanged here and hard done by, fine, we can't on the other say, deliberately give them an opportunity to wrap the title up as soon as possible in front of home fans. That would be weird as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I think... With the way the fixtures are, the thing that let's avoid this title decider between Celtic and Rangers, I think they've heightened it by putting the fixtures this way. There is every opportunity that Hearts, under a new manager, just scoring six last week, can give Celtic a very difficult afternoon and take points off them. There's every chance of that. As much as I still think Celtic will win.
But that's my point, though, because as unlikely as it is,
could happen at Celtic
Park. What if St Mirren did that?
Of course.
So it's this notion that it's like,
I suppose,
guaranteed.
I suppose if you're weighing up, it isn't guaranteed, but percentage wise, you'd have a higher percentage chance of winning against St Mirren at home than you would away against Hearts.
I agree with that. So is it, are the SPFL obliged then to do that for Celtic?
I don't think they're obliged to do anything. I would like to know how the fixtures come out. I know you gave us a list of what has to come into play. Now, Well, I guess guess it's not as simple as Ross says, just hand Celtic a game against St Mirren. I guess they obviously have to look at St Mirren's fixtures further down the line and who they're playing and what goes into that and where they are in respect of who they've played before. So there's a lot that goes into it.
I keep saying it like a broken record because I do sympathise with Ross, but I would also sympathise then, Gordon, because there will be loads of other permutations that we've not even looked at yet, and there is a temptation here on this show and in this city to look at everything through the lens of Celtic and Rangers, and you know everything through the lens of winning the league at the top. But there are other teams in there as well, and you're never going to be able to cherry pick a scenario for everyone. You just can't do that.
Yeah, you look at St Mirren. St Mirren are what, six? So St Mirren are looking maybe at the first couple of games. I think they've got a home game to start with. They're looking to pick up points, pick up momentum. Now, I agree with you guys that if Celtic had to play St Mirren in the first game after the split, I would certainly fancy Celtic home to go and win the title, but it's not a given. But you've got to be considerate to other clubs as well. You just can't fit in everything.
For instance, am I right in saying there's always these anomalies, and if we're going to take the positives of the split like we did on Saturday, then sometimes you have to take the negatives. Aberdeen, are they going to go to Celtic Park for a third time this season?
First game of the season, they went there, didn't they? Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
so
will be.
You see what I mean there? If you if your heart's in Aberdeen and you're going for third, the Aberdeen tonight will be saying, well, if there's one place you don't want to go three times, it would be there.
Yeah.
Unless you've got Kevin Van Veen in your ranks, of course.
That's correct. I think it's very hard for that balance to try and keep everybody happy. You're never going to do it. Look, I'm with you guys and probably every Celtic fan that's sitting listening to this radio. If I was involved at Celtic or a Celtic support, I would love a home game. And who would have picked either St Mirren or Hibs because they're sitting 6th, 5th? Aberdeen a bit of forum, they can come to Celtic Park. Hearts are sitting there, they're looking to finish 3rd. So you would probably pick a St Mirren or Hibs. But you've got to be fair to every other club. And Aberdeen fans will be sitting there saying, yeah, we've got to go. Third place is a lot of money to them, Europe and everything.
Incredible.
You know, so
because we're actually talking there about a scenario where Aberdeen might finish 3rd or might not finish 3rd. What we're talking realistically for Celtic is about when they win it. You know, as you said earlier, it's not like the order of this fixture realistically is going to determine where the title ends up.
No, that's true. So a lot more at stake.
But just because there are other problems doesn't mean this isn't valid. So I do accept that. I mean, Ross, do you expect it to wrap it up then at Tynecastle? Is there any part of you that would not mind if it rolled over to doing it against Rangers?
No, but I don't know if I speak in behalf of other Celtic fan here, but I'm quite prepared to give Hearts the 3 points. Lose that game and just win at Ibrox. I'm happy to do that.
I thought that was going to go the opposite way. I must admit, it's surprising.
See, do you know something? I'm finding that quite surprising. Do you know why? Because if you win at a Tynecastle, at least there's a group of Celtic
support. Yeah, not that many anyway, though.
It doesn't matter, but there's still...
Everything's about the rivalry here.
Yeah, but if
Are you new to this show?
I know, but if you win at Ibrox, there's no supporters there to celebrate.
Win at Ibrox all day long.
With no supporters.
All day long.
Okay. I'd rather... But if I was
David's on Twitter says, I take Gordon's point in fixture one regarding Celtic, but they absolutely handpicked the last fixture so Celtic are at home for Trophy Day in Sky. And I did say that. You know, there's this...
Yeah.
There is this feeling that some of it's handpicked, but then you're never going to be able to handpick it all either. So, I don't know. We will continue to argue about this into the near future, I suspect. 0141 951 1025. I can see more calls about fixture lists coming in, so feel free, Rangers fans, if you want to discuss Stuart Robertson leaving the club, because I feel like that's quite big news. Why don't you give us a call right now?
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Let's bring in Thomas in Milton. These fixture announcements have got everyone going. What do you think, Thomas? What's your point for the guys tonight?
Just, I was listening on the radio as I was, you know, up the road there. It was just to see. Good evening, gentlemen. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, you carry on, don't worry.
It was just a scenario. If it got to the situation where it went to Ibrox for the game. Do you not think the police would intervene and get this game changed? Would that not cause, I know there's not going to be any Celtic fans here, but it would not cause riots. It would probably be Celtic fans out with the game near the thing. Would that not cause riots?
No, I mean, it's not going to change now. That's the thing. That's part of the thought process we are always told that goes into these fixtures. You know, they always, like you said, it's been trotted out for years that they try and avoid a title decider between the sides. And you know, Police Scotland will have their input, the SPFL, but it's not going to now change if Celtic don't beat Hearts at Tynecastle, because the fixtures have been published, the TV selections have been published, and you're not just going to do that with 6-7 days notice. You know, that's it. It's done. And Rangers, yeah. Celtic might win the league at Ibrox, and that's just the way it might be.
And according to Mark, and who's obviously been at the club and played with the club, and some Celtic supporters, they would love nothing better. I just think that winning it there, probably when it was olden days and they had their own supporters in to celebrate, I think winning the league, you've got to have your supporters, where it's a small lot, which we could be at Tynecastle. I don't know what the allocation has gone, but I know it's not a lot because of the Heart season ticket situation, but at least it's some. Yeah, they could go, I'll not change now, there could be a possibility. But I think as much as we're sitting here looking at those fixtures right now, the way Celtic play, I think it was 3-0 last time they went to Tynecastle. I would fancy Celtic very strongly on that day to lift the title.
Mark, well, we never really know how if people are overreacting anyway, because it was not just, was it last season? It was recently that Celtic essentially won it there anyway, didn't they? Was it last season? Did they not? They beat Rangers 2-1. That was about early April. I'm trying to think if that's the season I'm thinking of. But sometimes we give this such a big build up, and it can happen anyway. And you just need to take it in the chin.
But I think the difference is, you know, all but winning it, like you're mentioning, is different winning it.
Fans don't really distinguish between the two. For us, no, I mean, we'll never
say. I don't
say,
know about that, Gordon. I don't know. It's I think they would distinguish, because getting over the line is a lot different from almost over the line and just doing enough. I think the euphoria from winning it at Ibrox would be something that we've not seen in a long time.
I think, to be fair, it was the draw against Dundee United that sealed it last season, but Brendan Rodgers era then, I think it happened.
Well, Celtic beat Rangers at Celtic Park,
yeah,
I remember,
exactly,
in 2018.
Right, so
5-0.
It can happen, you know, and not even that long ago.
I think it's slightly different when it's at Ibrox. We know Celtic fans in, and I think
if anything, it would be even less of an issue, because that one was at Celtic Park with Rangers fans in.
But there's going to have to be some place for Celtic fans to congregate. It's just the way it is in this city.
But that's going to happen whenever they win the league, isn't it?
Yeah, but I would say the euphoria would be heightened by
and
winning at Ibrox.
50,000 Rangers fans. Ugh, yeah.
So look, it's
but like I said, to make but, like I said at the start, That is set in stone, that stuff. Thomas's point, I think, is if it comes about that Celtic can win it at Ibrox, will the police intervene and move it? I mean, the answer to that has to be no.
Not a chance. The game will take place. It could be irrelevant, the point we're making, because Celtic, like Daz said, have been to Tynecastle this year and dealt with it with ease. And if they've got a fit squad and they come off back a good result on Sunday, you would think they would do similar again. So it could be irrelevant. Certainly be interesting if the drop points at Tynecastle.
Thomas, big news coming out of your club today. Stuart Robertson, CEO, leaving the club. Is that something you pay much attention to, that stuff?
I don't pay a lot of attention to that. I just look for new players to get signed and the team to get better.
He's an on-the-pitch man. I don't mind that. I know some fans are. But I just feel like nowadays, Gordon, it's all one web. That's why I'd asked the question, because, well, look, you only need to look at the scenes at Fir Park a couple of weeks ago to tell you how many fans pay attention to that stuff.
Excuse me. I think the days of, and I totally agree with Thomas. I think there's a lot still in his camp that you go along there, you're not really interested in what's happening at board level. You're more interested in what's happening in the dugout and on the pitch and results, Gordon.
Who signs the guys that get you the results, though, you know, and put the infrastructure
in
place.
Now football's completely different. The guys above the likes of the Michael Beales are so, so important, because they do have a big, big say in who comes into the club, the signings, the standards, how the club goes forward. Now, the Rangers fans, to me, the majority of them can't complain tonight. Because, as I said, that day at Fir Park, it wasn't... If you were a part of that and you're sitting there looking over at your right, and let's be honest, people say, yeah, OK, we're there to take criticism. Criticism's very difficult to take. It doesn't matter how strong a character you are. And if the Rangers fans are making their feelings clear that they don't want you anywhere near a club, they don't want you a part of a club, then that's fine. That's what they pay their money for. Now, they've got their wish. Because the people that they were talking about, especially... You know, Stuart Robinson and Ross Wilson, they've departed. Well, I think Stuart Robinson is the 31st of July, Gordon. Now, he's been there 8 years. He's been there a right long time. Now, he'll depart at the end of July. It's a new dawn. It's a new way of moving forward. So it'll be interesting now to see where Rangers go, how they plan the structure from Michael Beale all the way up.
It kind of similar. If you're going to broad brush, Mark, it's obviously similar to Ross Wilson, where if you want to give praise to Stuart Robertson, you would say, well, he was the CEO when Rangers eventually won the title, and he was the CEO when Rangers got to the European final. And if you want to be a bit more critical than that, you would say, well, yeah, he was a CEO that didn't build on that and has left Rangers trailing at the moment. So suit yourself, Rangers fans, I guess.
Well, that's the way football is now. I think fans have got a fascination of what happens above the manager and above the pitch nowadays. It's become popular to know who your CEO is inside out, who your, you know, head of recruitment is. It's just the in thing. But you're right, Stuart Robertson, there since 2015, was there to see in a title, see in a Scottish Cup, and see the run to Europe. But as every CEO has at big clubs, they've got their downfalls, they've got their black marks against their name, and he's no different. And the Rangers fans
did get
made
to
that
quite
clear.
Quite a dramatic stage, though, didn't it?
Well, when fans are holding up banners with your face crossed out, that's when you know you've went in the opposite direction.
I've no doubt for Stuart Robertson that Fir Park was the tipping over for him.
Think
100%, Gordon. I think he must have went away from that ground that day and had a real good think to sell. And it's taken him, because he has been there 8 years. He's been at the club a long, long time, and I think that he wanted to be a part of the club, but because of the situation, and as I keep saying, as much as you can say, and managers do all the time, well, that's what I'm paid for, and I take the flak, there's nothing worse than sitting there taking that criticism. I think it must have hurt Stuart Robertson, and he's decided to move on.
And then I guess, and by the way, Rangers fans, get involved. You tell us, you're more important in this debate than us, for sure, on 01419511025. When you appoint from within, like James Bisgrove, Mark, then it's sort of the same. I see loads of Rangers fans on social media saying, oh yeah, you know what, good, I'm happy with that. As his role in commercial and marketing, he's brought in a lot of money, a lot more money than the club used to bring in. And then, you know, you've been there already, you've got a downside as well, if you like. And fans are saying, oh yeah, is this the James Bisgrove that was all aboard the Sydney Cup? Remember that? Yeah, you know, these types of things. So
fans don't forget, Gordon, and they don't forget things that have a negative impact on the club or a negative outlook. They tend to forget some of the more important things that you know, the hierarchy at clubs do. And sometimes you get tarred with the same brush as the rest who have just went out. But it's a big role for James Bisgrove, totally different role. Kind of top of the tree, head of the house, if you like, and it's a lot to get right. And his first few months in the job.
And look, obviously Douglas Park, that was first, wasn't it? Struggling to keep up. Douglas Park, and then John Bennett, again promoted from within, if you like. Is this a sign that things are very much heading in a new and different direction? I mean, if Rangers fans call for change, and you get really three of the most prominent positions at the club changing within a matter of weeks or months, then it's quite a significant.
Well, take
change.
It back to November as well, because include the manager in that. So within the last, what, 6-7 months, changing the manager, the chairman, the chief exec, and the sporting director, that is a huge turnaround at the club. And then to follow, you're going to have players exiting. So when you're talking about a transformation of a club come the start of the season at the end of July, then it's hard to find a club that's transformed as much as Rangers would have.
And Brian's quite right to point out that Robertson was actually the MD of the Rangers Football Club Limited, and that Bisgrove is going to be the CEO. There's a subtle difference. But Brian, I'm sure you will appreciate that Gordon DL's knowledge of corporate structures is, it's rusty, right, to say the least.
Just different letters.
We'll leave that one be for now. 01419511025. If you want to get in touch, Rangers fans, it's the perfect time to do so. What do you make of that? Are you happy that Stuart Robertson is leaving? Is it the right choice? How do you look back on his tenure? Is James Bisgrove the man? Let us know all of the above and anything else you've got for us right now.
Cash for Kids Day. Clyde One.
Now, before we go any further, though, where are we? Just over a week away, 9 days time. You're going to want to mark this in the calendar because it's very important stuff. Cash for Kids Day, Thursday the 27th of April. We're all going to come together to try our very best and help the children affected by the cost of living crisis. You don't have to wait until then to get involved. We've got a good competition that you can enter right now. We're talking about a 7-night family holiday to Fuerteventura, flying from Edinburgh Airport on the 5th of August and heading straight for the Dunas Club Apartments. Mark Wilson goes more holidays than any man I know, so this would be wasted on him, but Gordon DL and myself would love to win that, and you could. It's all thanks to the lovely folk at Barhead Travel who've donated the holiday. And as if that wasn't enough, 101 convenience stores have very kindly donated €500 spending money, so you can really enjoy your trip. You'd just put that to green fees at whatever golf course was nearby, wouldn't you?
No, I'd go for a trip. I'm really needing a nice wee trip.
No, but the 500 once you get there.
Oh, the 500. Ah, I would just give that rounds to of charity golf
and, oh, would you? That's very nice of you. Now you can entries to the competition are just £3. Every penny of that goes to Cash for Kids to help local families. So £3, you're helping local families, and you might end up in Fuerteventura. It is a win-win and then some. Full details and online entry at Clyde1.com/CFKday. And that's for Cash for Kids Day with 101 convenience stores.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025, or you can tweet us at ClydeSSB. This day of every season, you can mark it in your diary. We have a good old moan and a whinge about the fixtures, and in particular this year, of course, there's ramifications as to when and where Celtic can win the title. So lots of stuff coming on that front. Don't forget, St Mirren fans, second hour of the show, we're going to be joined live in the studio by your skipper Mark O'Hara as well. So get your questions, your points, your love letters in if you so wish. But let's go straight back to the phones and bring in Brian, who's on the line. How are you, Brian?
Yeah, thanks for letting me on. Hope it's all well.
Pleasure, all well in here. What do you make of the big news coming out of Ibrox today then, this afternoon? Stuart Robertson stepping down as CEO and James Bisgrove going to take his place.
Yeah, I can understand Rangers fans been caring about just what happens in the pitch, but I think the structure of your club, you know, everything has to be right. As I said to the producer, I believe James Bisgrove has been earmarked for bigger things, and this is his step up. The mistake on the game between Rangers and Celtic in Australia, I just think James seen that as a commercial opportunity, but didn't really understand Rangers fans' feelings about going to Australia and playing second fiddle to Ange Postecoglou Celtic, and obviously it was then cancelled. To me, he seen a commercial opportunity, but he didn't understand the feelings. I wish him all the luck. I'd also like to thank Stuart Robinson for his sterling work he's done at the club over the last 8 years.
Yeah, it was interesting you say that, Brian, about the he maybe didn't understand the feelings of the Rangers fans. Do you think he will now? Is that like as steep a learning curve as you'll get? Because you remember more than I do how angry the reaction to that was.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, without a doubt. I don't know whether James is a Rangers fan. Personally, I don't think it really matters. It was just a commercial opportunity. You know, he's in there to make as much money for the club as possible. He made a mistake. Obviously, like everybody else, you learn from your mistakes.
That'd be the hope, Mark. I'm sure if you're James Bisgrove, if you're John Bennett, that rather than that constantly being a stick that the Rangers fans beat him with, it's that learning curve, a big one, a steep
one.
Well,
he has to. Yeah. It was a major incident, a major black mark against his name. But he has to move on, and the fans have to move on because it is a promotion. He's moving up the ladder. A lot of the decisions going forward, in terms of the full club, will rest on his shoulders. So, like the fans, like I say, find it hard sometimes to forget. But the Australia thing is now done and dusted, and they'll need to move with the times and move on and get behind
the
CEO.
I agree with that. I think you've got to put that to the back burner now. Go and forget about that. I think Brian makes a good point. He's seen it as a commercial situation, which he probably looked at and thought, yes, this was good. Didn't really understand it. And as Brian says, and Brian, you've said you've got to learn your mistakes. Well, it's not Stuart Robinson, it's Stuart Robertson.
Because you called him Robinson first. You've called him at least four times.
Twice.
Do you know what though? Right, but hold on. I've got a theory. I'm sure I was at a press conference recently. I think Michael Beale calls him that as well. And I'm pretty sure Steven Gerrard did also. So anyway, sorry, Mr. Robertson, if you're listening. Something I noticed, Brian, you know, as part of that announcement about James Bisgrove talking about hosting a new quarterly CEO fans forum. Edmondson's House, alongside other members of the senior management, and I just wonder if you and your fellow Rangers fans, if that's something that you've really been looking for. Because I remember this when Douglas Park stepped down from the role as chairman, people talking about wanting more communication, more transparency, more openness. Is that the type of thing you'd be looking for?
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, that's what you are. You're basically keeping the fans in the loop. You know what's happening. Of course, that's a good thing in any, you know, in any shape. Listen, can I mention something about the split?
Of course,
if you
can.
Don't mind the fixtures. Right, the only anomaly I can see from a Rangers fan is that we've got an extra match at Easter Road, and Celtic have an extra home match against Aberdeen. Now, the split frustrates. Yes, it does create, you know, a situation where a lot of games, you know, matter. You know, going to the end of the season, it does create that. There's no doubt about that drama. And I know Sky or any other media outlet that was getting into business with the SPFL would always want four Old Firm games. I've got a plan. And what it would mean would be to extend the league by two teams. So make it a 14-team league. Now, you would still have a split. You'd have a split after 26 games. And then the top six would split and play five home games, five away games, giving you 36 games. No anomaly. Right? And the bottom eight would do likewise, and they would play an extra four games because of the amount of teams in the bottom. And that would give them 40 games, which would give teams in the bottom half two extra home games. It would kind of alleviate not getting into the top, and it would still give you four Old Firm games. What do you think about that?
I mean, Gordon Dale, he checked out at like your second bullet point, I think, but I'm pretty sure Mark followed mostly. I must say, it's been a while since we talked league reconstruction. Yeah, that phrase usually sends a shudder down my spine.
Brian, I had a gentle snigger when you said that there was a mismatch in the amount of games from the top half to the bottom half. Until you then pointed out that, you know, an extra two home games with a wee bit of revenue in there makes up for not missing.
Hold on.
It's not the worst idea
I'm just
I've
worried,
ever heard.
We can't introduce a discussion on league reconstruction at 10 to 7, right? Because this is the type of show we could do months on this stuff, and we have done in the past. I get what Brian's
like
coming
it.
From.
I like it.
The
you,
notion
you,
of
you
the
having
split.
Brian?
Sure, all the big wigs are listening to us right now.
Mm-hmm. Neil Doncaster.
Brian's trademarked it.
Panicked that his job's going to be taken. We're seeing this today, though, because of the anomalies of the split, as we've mentioned. Mm. And Brian acknowledges, look, it's Saturday, it was brilliant. We have St Mirren's captain, Mark O'Hara, has now entered the studio. Try telling him and his teammates, look, this split, top six, you know, is brilliant in that way. It does then throw up its downsides. I suppose what is quite frustrating for people, Mark, is if everything is predicated on four Old Firm games, and that's what we're always told, you know, TV deals and all the rest of it, and league sizes. If everything is about that, why do we go out our way to make the last one a dead rubber?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If it's so important in that regard, why then do we twist ourselves into knots to try and avoid it being a league decider?
They would make it, they would make it the big showcase game that everybody thinks that's what it's for. It's not. I mean, as fairness, it boils down to that last game before the split, and more often than not, there has been something hanging on the last day since we've had it. Very rarely is it just done and dusted. So the fixtures have to get picked pretty quickly. No, you can't make everybody happy. That is the thing. I would hate to be the guy who has to do that job or input it into the supercomputer. You know, I always say that.
Well, that's the thing though.
But or is that the lottery?
Yeah, because they obviously don't do that all the time, clearly, because there are elements of it that must be handpicked or close to it, as I mentioned earlier. Brian, I've had some very interesting theories and takes on Celtic potentially winning it at Ibrox and all that stuff. How much attention do you pay? Do you care?
Not really, to be honest. I can't understand why the second game. I thought the Old Firm game would be the third game after the split, and I can't. They must have their reasons for doing it, and I think that's why probably Celtic fans are complaining that they're then going to be playing two away games in a row.
Yeah,
I think Celtic. I did think that the first game after the first game for the split would have been Celtic would be away, and Rangers would be home. I also guessed logically that we would have Celtic, Aberdeen and Hearts as our three home games. I think that's happened before, you know, when they've been doing the split. But they've got their reasons. You just need to go on with it. If Celtic don't beat Hearts and then they come to Ibrox, maybe we'll beat them that day as well, and they won't win the league that day either.
Well,
who knows?
Exactly. Who knows? I mean, I must admit, I've heard some. There are some eye-opening theories for me on here on Twitter at Clyde SSB. So Paul's just at a more general point, says the idea that there'll be riots if Celtic win the league at Ibrox. We've had cup finals, semis. We've won the league at Celtic Park against each other in recent seasons, with 7,500 away fans. And that you'll like this one, you two. Scott Lorimer says, if Celtic slip up against Hearts, I hope Rangers chuck our game rather than them winning the league.
That would
good
be
thinking.
Good.
This runs deep.
I remember very clearly when Rangers went to Celtic Park and won the league that day, and I remember the fallout from that and what that game brought.
Crying all night.
Aye. I was, no joke.
Tough night for you.
That was a tough one.
Right, anyway, thank you very much to Brian on 01419511025. You can tweet as well if you want to get your thoughts over to us on any of this evening's talking points, whether it be fixtures, whether it be the boardroom change at Ibrox. We've not even got round to so much other stuff. It is a busy old night on the show, and it's already time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
What a week we had last week. 4-0 up. The listeners went 4-0 up Monday to Thursday, and who would have thought Hugh Keevan saved you to an extent? He saved the embarrassment.
No,
I think he lost it. Did he lose night? Last night?
Yeah, tiebreaker. Somebody
I think
told
he
me
did.
Today.
A lot of tiebreakers these days.
I've
I must
got
admit.
To say, I am.
You're under serious
I'm
pressure.
Terrible, but this is when I bounce
You've
back.
Had a very
this
bad
is when
one.
I'm at my best.
Anyway, 01419511025. Beat the Pundit time. If you want to take on Mark Wilson or Gordon DL, now is your time to step up to the plate. Calls need to be in before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, and now St Mirren captain Mark O'Hara with you until the end of the show. So it's 01419511025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. Lots of moaning and mumping about the fixture scheduling, understandably so, some of it. So if you want to keep that coming, please do. I don't think you'll get Mark O'Hara agreeing that the split is a bad thing though, after the weekend St Mirren have just had. But St Mirren fans or anyone else, if you have any questions or any points for Mark, please do get them in on the phones or on Twitter. If you want to change the subjects entirely from the first hour, you can indeed. He smells magnificent, doesn't he? That's the one thing I've noticed about the start.
Yes.
Yep. You two must stink because the
well,
fragrance
he does
level
was the man who
in this studio has risen.
Used to always have his fragrance. Yeah, you've let that slide a bit.
He's come in with a bit.
He's come in, game, hasn't he?
He's got a 2 year under his belt. Few quid.
Gone to one of those expensive aftershave
I'll tell
shops.
You what, I'll tell you what he's come in with. The reddest face I've ever seen in my life. I thought Mark Wilson's face was red until I seen this boy's here.
So
I'm
welcome.
Roasting.
That's as polite a welcome as you get. How are you?
No, I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Have you ever played Beat the Pundit?
Yes, you're in.
Yeah, I've played along, but I'll leave it to right. I'll leave it to last night.
I thought you were going to say leave it to the experts. I thought, well, not many of them, right? Sit back and enjoy, and then we'll get your questions to Mark after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see who we've got. Stevens and Cambus Lang. How are you, Stephen?
Hi, I'm not too bad. Yourself, Steve?
Yeah, all good, all good. Have you ever played before?
Yeah, I've not played in a while, no.
Oh, no.
What do you mean, a while?
No, but have you ever been on the show before?
I play at home, I just play
All right,
home.
You play at home, right. Okay, well, so why have you not been playing recently?
Just been too busy with work.
He's not been home.
This is good. This is good.
Go on, Stephen. Usually get three or four
heads. Days. It's Mark Wilson. Tails. It's Gordon Dalziel. We won't put Mark O'Hara through the ringer yet. It's tails.
Oh,
what
I'm
are you three in a row?
I'm three down here.
Three in a row. Watch you stay at us.
Mark, watch a guy just pounce back. This is what happens. You had a bad result the weekend. Watch a skipper here.
How is it two defeats three. Or three? Or is it?
I might even be four.
Wow.
Right. Balls flying okay. all over this office.
I'm going to give Gordon some greatest hits radio to listen to on that bombshell and bring you in, Stephen. You've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yeah, no dramas, Gordon.
Right, let's go. Your time starts now. Name any player who scored in Celtic's Scottish Cup game against Hearts in March.
Kyogo.
How many Scottish teams has Scott Wright played for?
Three.
Who was the last Newcastle player to be capped for Scotland?
Richie.
Before St Mirren, name the last Scottish Premiership side that Mark O'Hara played for.
Livingston.
Which St Johnstone player has played the most games this season in all competitions?
Murray.
Who are the only bottom six Premiership side who've won their last three games?
Dundee United.
Let's bring Gordon Dalziel back. They're tough, by the way. You're in bother.
No, I'm not in bother.
Mark, they are tough, aren't they?
Yeah.
There's one or two in particular that I thought.
Big Mark, wee Mark. Big Mark, what do you think?
I think you'll do all right.
What was your first answer?
Don't tell him. Right, you ready? 30 seconds, Gordon Dalziel, and right. Your time starts now. Name any player who scored in Celtic Scottish Cup game against Hearts in March.
Kyogo.
How many Scottish teams has Scott Wright played for?
Three.
Who was the last Newcastle player to be capped for Scotland?
Fraser.
Before St Mirren, named the last Scottish Premiership side that Mark O'Hara played for.
Motherwell.
Which St Johnstone player has played the most games this season for the club in all competitions?
Witherspoon.
Who are the only bottom six Premiership side who've won their last three games?
The bottom six, the last three
do
games.
Do not repeat it to buy yourself more United. Time. You just got it in time. Why Stephen, what do you think?
I think he's got me with
Lana. Ah, you're right, Stephen. You're home.
No, I hope not.
No wonder you have not been home for a while.
A good calculated guess, even if you didn't know it. Kyogo generally scores, so that was right. Both of you went for him. Do you remember the others, just out of curiosity?
Taylor?
No, right. Hopeless. Cameron Carter-Vickers and Aaron Moy.
Doesn't matter. 1-1.
How many Scottish teams has Scott Wright played for? Aberdeen, Dundee on loan and Rangers. That's three. You've both got it. Calm down. You both got it.
It doesn't matter. He's done.
Who was the last Newcastle player to be capped for Scotland? Stephen said.
Come on, Steve.
Matt Ritchie. You went Ryan. It was Ryan Fraser.
Ryan Fraser. Wee Ryan doing the wing.
Played the game in Turkey that friendly, remember, in November.
Yeah. In Turkey.
Before St Mirren, named the last Scottish Premiership side Mark O'Hara played for. That was obviously, I guess, Steve. Even Gordon Dalziel, he knew it. He's a big Motherwell fan, as he always tells us.
I even know his day of birth is 12th of December. He's 27. Barhead, there you go. Is that correct? Thank you. I know everything.
You know that. He's obviously just looked it up.
That's weird.
I've not looked it up. The thing. Big fan.
4-2 to Gordon Dalziel. None of you knew that Stevie May has played the most for St Johnstone.
Very tough.
And you both got fair play to. I thought Stephen was decent. He knew that Dundee United have won the last three, so he put three on the board. But it wasn't enough.
That was brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, you were good there.
That's what I'm saying to you. Learn. Watch how it's done.
That was good.
Skipper. That's why I lift at trophies. You might do that one day.
Listen to this guy. Honestly. Absolutely shameful.
This big guy is impressed. He wants a selfie.
Thank you very much, Stephen Hardlines.
Unlucky, yeah, Stephen.
Phone back Thursday.
Honestly,
I'll give you another whipping.
You needed that.
Oh, you've been hopeless recently.
But I'll
tell you, with 5-3, Mark was impressed with me. Thought you said they were hard. Mix them up a wee bit. I just thought they were quite tough.
But anyway, beat the pundit back tomorrow. It's one all for the week. So we'll see how it pans out. Right, 01419511025. Mark O'Hara, my apologies for my colleague. He's very rude.
Nah, very impressive.
How are you? How was the weekend?
Yeah, the weekend was disappointing, actually. I think it'd have been nice to seal it with a win, and I'm still probably getting over it. I think the manner we lost wasn't great, but to achieve top six is massive, and I think when it eventually weighs off this pointless Saturday's performance, it'll be what we deserve, and I'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I was going to say, because when I asked the question, I kind of almost forgot that you lost, because I thought, you know, you're here to talk about reaching the top six, that sort of stuff. Was it bittersweet at all at the weekend then, or have you managed to focus mostly on the positives? Because it's still been a very successful season.
It was a strange situation, I think, after the game, because we've been good at home this season, and that was probably one of our worst performances, and yeah, we're dealing with that, and obviously you had people celebrating because we're in the top six, and it was relief more than anything. Yeah. I think when that whistle went, there was with 10 minutes to go, there were rumours that it was 3-1 to Livingston.
Oh dear.
And I was looking about, but the fans were staying, so I was like, something must be wrong with that. So
What do you mean? Who gives you a rumour?
It was the boy Ryan Strain. Somebody's told him apparently that it was 3-1 to Livingston. He's got really two goals in his last 5 minutes here, and
he's
start launching the ball. But I think a few minutes to go, the fans were jumping up and down again. I think that's when Dundee United second went in, and that took the pressure off a bit.
So some wind up merchant in the crowd. He's got a bit bored. Wanted to spark a reaction from St Mirren. He's just leaned over.
Pick somebody to spread that rumour.
Was it just one of those days? Was there any reason for it? I mean, it's easy for people to look in the outside and go, you know, maybe it was the fact that, you know, you only needed a point. Everyone was saying that Kilmarnock had been so bad away from home, St Mirren were going to win. Did any of the occasion come into it, do you think?
I don't know. Kilmarnock were very good. I think we were under no illusion it was going to be a tough game, and they were well on it, and we weren't. I think there was no hiding from that. They were the better team and they deserved the win. It wasn't the script that we imagined, but luckily we've got over the line.
So no wild celebrations on Saturday night, or none that you're willing to disclose?
No, there wasn't. I think the manager's drilled that in for us this week that we've not achieved anything yet. We've got a big opportunity ahead of us and try and get European football.
Interesting. That's not how I expected that weekend to go down to Paisley Way.
I must have been celebrating. It's such a big feat, you know, especially for
this week.
Exactly.
You're off for a fortnight nearly.
He's on there in training every day, are you?
No, but I'm working hard this week.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Football has changed even since I retired.
You're not having that at all, are you?
No.
That's not your style.
I'd be somewhere in Spain by now.
You're getting offers, to be fair. I mean, we tweeted earlier that you were coming on and asked for questions, and I was kind of hoping for like in-depth stuff about your career, and Fraser just says, ask him if he's coming to the bank house for a party and a few pints after the last game of the season. I've no idea where that is, but I'm sure it's
do you know where it is, by
St
guy?
Mirren
I'm watering hole. The Paisley City Centre.
He knows where it is.
What else have we got? Ask him how he feels to be the most handsome captain in the cinch, apparently, according to Rosie. I don't know.
That's a decent shout, that.
Who would be the other contenders?
Hold on a minute, you're asking him who would be the other contender?
Listen,
to be
Mark
a handsome
is, Mark
captain?
Is a modern man.
Aye,
he could answer that question. You
seriously?
Couldn't. You're a dinosaur, but he could answer that question.
You'll need to come back to me. Let me think of the captains.
Shane, my day then, I was a captain. I must have been right up there.
No, don't be so ridiculous.
With a feather cut.
No,
he still had the big nose, though.
It didn't matter. Big nose, big hanky.
Never say that again on this show, please. Ever. Anyway, there are some questions on here. Cammy, for instance, what's your favourite thing about the current, a favourite aspect about the current squad? A tough question that is.
We're all quite close knit. I think from where I've been previously, this is the most close knit that I've witnessed. I think that's no surprise. That's what comes with success is a good strong team and everyone together singing from the same hymn sheet. So
Yeah, that because it's everybody from Motherwell.
So I'm glad you said that. I've been desperate to bring it up.
Everyone's not from the ML1, honestly.
So it feels like everyone's kind of pulling in the same.
Yeah, everyone's pulling the same way. It's a good setup we have at Ralston, and everyone spends a bit of time there and play the days. And we get in early in the mornings, we leave later on in the afternoons, and we enjoy it.
That stuff make a difference, because you know, on the outside you sometimes hear that, but so do you genuinely feel like that's been part of the success?
Oh, definitely. I think if you've got somebody that's playing next year, it's going to run the extra yards for you, it makes a difference. And as I say, that's been working for us.
A few characters in there as well. A very listeners of the show will remember, without giving out my medical history, I once got my appendix out and we had to do the show from my house. In my living room, and then Charles Dunn appeared in my living room and just sort of took his shoes off and did the show with these two idiots. He was in his pyjamas, as you would expect. And I thought, fair enough, cause I don't think there was many top flight footballers would be willing to do that. You must have a bit of a spread of characters in there.
No, there's some really big characters. I think Dunny obviously had the court case that was well documented.
That's right, yes. And, so what was it? He turned up at He went to an Aberdeen game
with Anthony Stewart in the back.
That's right.
Had the top on, and I think he got fined.
You were club captain. What was your role in the court case?
I was actually in Edinburgh for a scan that day in my ankle, so I'd missed it. And I'd just seen the photos on Twitter, and I was like, what is going on here?
You turned up with a suit on and that, didn't
you? Yeah,
the suit and the shades, and he had his attorney with him. So
I like that. Cammy's second part of the question was, who's the toughest player you've played against? I don't know if you mean, just go generally then, and then maybe this season if the answer's different.
Generally, it was always tough playing against Scott Brown. I think when you're playing against Scott Brown, even when I was a younger playing against him, there was nothing left. I imagine he was always smashing into you, wee words in the air, and try to get over the better of you mentally as well as physically. And this season there's obviously some very good players in the league, and I think Celtic have got a strong midfield. Rangers have added good options to midfield, and both of them are.
Yeah, Celtic's midfield strength gets a lot of praise this season. With any of them. Would any of the current crop threaten your answer to be Scott Brown?
I think in a different kind of way. Obviously, you've got Hitati, technically he's unbelievable. Callum McGregor's he's done amazing. He's 8 out of 10 every game. And then Rangers this year have added Cantwell, who looks a really good option in midfield. So, yeah, no, they're very good players.
Fair enough. Right, you can keep them coming in. There's loads more there on Twitter at Clyde SSB. You can take some calls as well. And by the way, it doesn't have to be wall-to-wall St Mirren. We're here until 8 o'clock if you Rangers, Celtic, Motherwell, Hearts, Hibs, whoever else fans out there that want to get your thoughts in, you absolutely can do that as well. So please do 01419511025. I think we were about to bring in Jason, who's a St Mirren fan, so I'll just wait a second and see if we can get him lined up there. Logan Livingston quite simply says, will we get Europe? You must be at least excited at the prospect. How confident you feeling?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're excited for it. We've got a few big games coming up. This Hibs and Hearts, the first two games are absolute massive. And I think we're under no illusion it's going to be tough, but we've got to set our targets high and hope that we can achieve that.
I see. He's just stumbled into it. There's the theme of the show. You're now no longer a guest. You're a pundit. What do you make of the fixture list? Are you happy enough with it? Are there any gripes from St Mirren that I've not noticed?
There has been. Obviously, I think we were due to play Aberdeen at home. We've played them away twice this season, and we're going up there on Wednesday night. And I think we've not got a game on Sky. Our team's got games on Sky, so that is disappointing that we only got up to Aberdeen again Wednesday night. It's a tough game.
Yep,
so.
There we are. We said that, Mark, everybody's going to, and that doesn't make it okay, but it was just there's a tendency to view it all through the lens of the title race. That could be absolutely massive. We're talking this year, third place gets you £6 million. Yeah. If you get the automatic group stage football. St Mirren are going to have to suck it up. I did notice that one. I forgot they're the only team in the top six, I think, that doesn't have a live televised game.
So again, for St Mirren and financially, that is much bigger a deal to St Mirren than it is to Celtic going away to Tynecastle and away to Ibrox in the first two games, because that is unfair. You've got to say it's unfair. But it's up to you guys.
It's unavoidable.
But it's unfair in a certain way. St Mirren will feel hard done by. But I guess it maybe creates a siege mentality going up there and thinking, you know what, let's roll up our sleeves and let's show it doesn't affect us in a negative way.
Is that the way it's going to have
to be? It's got to be that way. There's no other way about it. So we're going to put it right.
And I guess the Celtic fans will be on board, because they're the ones who phoned earlier and said, why not just Celtic St Mirren on TV, first game after the split? We can win the title in front of our own fans. Mark would have other ideas, of course.
Yeah.
And St Mirren would get their game on the telly anyway. Well, there's a lot of permutations that we've not got to yet. Jason is a St Mirren fan on the line. How are you, Jason?
I'm not too bad, Gordon. How's yourselves? Yeah. Obviously, Gordon and Mark, how you doing?
Nice.
You're not there to talk. You're not here to talk to them. You don't even need to pretend, Jason. Yeah. I don't even like talking to them. What's your point for Mark tonight?
Yeah, it was just well, first of all, I congratulate you. You might remember me, Gordon Duncan. I was on a couple of weeks ago. I was managing Hoik just before the start.
That's right. How did that go that night?
We won the derby 2-0. So
some man
took a bit of inspiration from St Mirren. That weekend before, thanks.
For anyone who missed that call, Jason, so you're the assistant manager of a team, assistant coach, and he phoned up at like 15 minutes to kick off. He's standing on the touchline, this big local derby, but just making his point to us 15 minutes before the game kicked off.
Were we not on that night?
Well, you
sure, I remember that.
Anyway, Jason, take
Jason
it away.
Jason Fihoyk?
Yeah, that's
him.
I introduced him as that though at
no,
the start.
So. But he just called him Scott. And you missed it. He says, how you doing, Scott?
Right, anyway, Jason, don't let these distract you. What's your point tonight?
Yeah, my point was just to put to Mark, obviously, it's been a great feat for St Mirren this season. Obviously, been a lot of people tipped us for relegation. But I was just wondering, was it a certain point in the season or, you know, a certain game where St Mirren knew they were going to get the top six, or was it as simple as it was on Saturday when it was confirmed at the time? And that was kind of a relief. Was there such a turning point for yourselves in the dressing room that you knew this is achievable and you're going to get there? Or was it just we take it as a game-by-game basis?
I've got a word of warning for you. This is different, right? This is not your normal press conference stuff. And it's done. You don't need to give us your one game at a time. Nonsense. You can tell us the truth and we're all friends.
I think within house, we'd set that target at the start of the season. I think, as you say, a lot of people did tip us for relegation. I think that's got to be your field.
There's a few in here, by the way. I've got the list. I've got the list ready to reveal.
The manager, he's fielded that from the offset. We have meetings every week and he makes sure that we're well on it. And I think people started taking us seriously when we beat Celtic and nobody else achieved that this year. But yeah, as I say, quietly, we're confident that we have got the squad capable of achieving top six.
Because this is the thing. I'll cut them a little bit of slack because I asked them to make predictions when, I mean, like, the transfer window's not even close to closing. I think we probably made them just around the group stages of the League Cup, and I'm sure you would concede that wasn't going particularly
to
plan. So were there doubts then from you at that point? It's great. I'd do the same if I was you. It's great now to say, ah, see, y'all wrote us off. But it probably did come because of that difficult start, didn't it?
No, definitely. I think we lost our first two league games as well. But as I say, looking around, we had international players throughout the squad and it was always going to turn at one point. And I think the manager was a kind of rebuilding phase and it was always going to take a bit of time, and when it did click, it was good and we all understood what we were doing. I think we spent a lot of time pre-season working on the shape, and we'd actually tweaked it from the League Cup. It was going to be a different shape in the league, and maybe that was why.
Oh, really? So you think actually the best laid plans?
I don't think the manager said it didn't suit. It doesn't suit the personnel we had. We were playing 4-3-3, and obviously we've switched to 3-5-2 for the league, and
which has really suited you as well, hasn't it?
That's really suited us. So,
interesting.
So yeah,
got to adapt. I like that, because I guess, Mark, there's a tendency some managers would say, "Well, this is my style, and this is the way we're going to play." And
of course,
we'll just make it work.
But the best managers, I think, realise what Mark just said there. The personnel has to suit as well. And when your hands are tied, you know, financially as well, you can't just go out and buy players to fit your style. Then you have to adapt. That's why he's such a good manager. He's been successful in
What I've taken for that is he's obviously looked at that League Cup section. It's been very, very poor. Come under a lot of criticism. Could easily, some managers easily think, no, I'm sticking with the formation. This is the way I'm going to play. But he's looked at that and thought, no, I'm going to play the way my players are happy and how it fits into the jigsaw.
So the skill set
and the proof is there. It's worked for him.
Jason, what did it mean to you to get that over the line? Yes, Mark said not in classic fashion at the weekend, but there's always been a lot made recently in recent seasons about trying to get into the top half of the split for the first time. The late disappointments at Hamilton not so long ago, all that stuff. What did it mean to you and the club, do you think, to get it done?
I think for me personally, it was absolutely massive. I mean, I heard Mark say at the start of his interview, Saturday wasn't great, but for me, that was one game. It wasn't just on Saturday that we got top six, it was the whole season. It was the performance over the season that we've done. And I think St Mirren, both on and off the field this season, have been nothing short of astounding from, you know, the position many of us have put us in. I think, and I said it a couple of weeks ago when I phoned in, I think it was just great, personally, as a fan of a smaller club outside the Big Two in Scotland, with such an exciting race going on at the moment for, well, at the time, for third spot. I think Aberdeen are kind of running away with that now. but certainly for St Mirren to get European football back and potentially Mark to be leading the team out at Paisley in a European game next season is absolutely massive for a club like St Mirren, and it's something that doesn't come round all that often. I hope it does, but the times it comes round, you've just got to enjoy and just savour it in every moment of it.
Is that the bit that makes it even more exciting this year, Mark? Because yeah, you make the top six, that means you get more prize money and you get another crack at the big teams, and therefore you make more financially. But it's not like you're just in there and you think, oh well, we're just in sixth and we just take that. Because you get potentially the five European places, you know, there's so much still to aim for.
Yeah, I think as Jason said, they were up until, I think, Aberdeen won at the weekend, we were still targeting for the third. There is still a lot to play for, and I think us and Hibs are on the same points. Hearts are four above us, and we play them the second game of the split. There's a lot for us to achieve, and to get European football at this MISA next year would be special.
Thank you very much, Jason. 01419511025. Good time to call. Whether it is a point for Mark or something entirely different, you are still more than welcome. Won't put him on the spot too much if you've got complaints about something else, but we're still here for you. So get your calls in right now, please.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark O'Hara, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. It doesn't change much. You can still phone in and argue whatever you want about Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen, Hearts or any of the above. And if you St Mirren fans have got something specific for Mark O'Hara, then please do get in touch. We just wanted to pay a bit of attention given that top six achievement at the weekend. And he's settling in nicely. He's getting used to Gordon DL's weird and wonderful ways, and I think we're getting on fine. So please do get in touch if you can. There's some good tweets in, I must admit. There's a few asking who the best player you've played against this season. So you said Scott Brown was the best generally. If you had to pick one this season, who are you going for?
This season, I think Kyogo's he's definitely up there, isn't he?
That's not a bad choice, right? We can understand. What is it? I mean, everybody always says it, right? But it's easy for us when you watch. What's it like on the pitch?
I think especially when we're analysing him, he's always a threat. He doesn't need to be involved a lot, but I think you need to be wary of him, and he can strike at any time, and I think his movement's so sharp and he's deadly, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Paz says, how have you found the step up from Motherwell? So if we could just block Paz, that would be nice. He's not getting on again. We've got a few asking about your favourite goal. Somebody's gone, was it Ibrox or was it one against St Johnstone? Yeah, Callum Kerr, was it the volley against St Johnstone or the first goal against Rangers?
I think the first goal against Rangers. It was obviously disappointing we didn't get anything from that game, but to score right on half time in front of the fans, it was a special feeling. Yeah, it was.
You'd have been proud of that one, wouldn't you?
It was phenomenal. And I mean, especially see when you've got a new deal in the meeting, then you hit one like that. Then
was it after?
That was to celebrate. Even but oh, what a goal it was.
Imagine saying him you'd be proud of. He didn't have that in his locker. You should have.
Oh, he scored a few.
You should have said to me as a prolific goal scorer.
That's far too far out for you.
You're tapping.
I've got to say it was a terrific goal.
Which of your teammates was it again that like jumped on the advertising boards
Ryan
to celebrate?
Ryan Stone.
And then what did he fall off or something?
Yeah. Surely you had a go at him after the game, after the disappointment.
Do you know, nobody realised, and I think somebody put the video link on the chat after the game.
Nobody realised. The first thing I noticed. Who's the guy on the advertising board when he's just scored a world day? Unreal.
I like that. Just getting involved.
Taking all the credit.
That was good. Anyway, 01419511025. We are on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB. Tom's in Paisley. How's it going, Tom?
No, that's how yourself. Good evening. Good evening, Mark, in the panel.
Thank you very much, Tom. I take it you're on to give a bit of praise to your captain of recent times. How pleased have you been the way the season's panned out?
I've been a fantastic season to Mark and all the guys at St Mirren Football Club. It's been a credit being there, and it's been a credit to support the guys as well.
Did you always think it was going to happen this season, Tom? We were speaking earlier, you know, about early season predictions and expectations and that sort of stuff.
Well, after a regular conversation on Friday, Gordon, after the first four games, I thought it didn't look too good for us. But as I say, we've steadied the ship and I think we'll get better, and we've got a lot of good signings. Vice-captain at the back here in midfield, he's been a fantastic signing for us, and may it long continue.
Yeah, I hope Joe Shaughnessy's not listening, because I just keep calling you St Mirren captain, and
yeah, Joe,
I forgot
Joe's
he's
the
club captain.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, out of sight. Potato, potato. Sorry, isn't it? Well, he will let us off, won't he?
Joe's
is it
a type?
He won't be offended.
No, Joe won't be offended. He's a model pro, and he's helped me out.
How important has the manager been to what you've done? Because Gordon always tells us he's a big Motherwell fan. And we had a joke earlier about, you know, a lot of the players having previously been at the club, but he clearly very effective Scottish Premiership manager. When you look now across two clubs, if you're talking about consecutive cup finals at Motherwell, finishing high up the league, and then within that actually changing style quite significantly from a, you know, a sort of direct physical team to one inspired by David Turnbull, etc., played a bit more, and now to then go and do that at St Mirren as well. What is it about this league you think that he's got down?
I love working with the manager. I think his attention to detail, along obviously with his staff, they've got Dermot, Jamie Langfield, Alan McManus all there, and the detail we get before the game is second to none. It's we know everything about the players we're playing against. Everyone knows their exact roles and how we're pressing, what we're doing with the ball, and we spend a lot of extra time on the pitch just drilling what we're going to be doing at the weekend, and I think that's why we're so successful come Saturday.
And I'm going to throw another of our pundits under the bus here. I think it must have been Andy Halliday who said it. So can you confirm, is there a manager in the Premiership who speaks more on the sidelines than your own manager? Is he up there?
I think it's Monday to Friday you see a different side to the manager, and then a Saturday I think he'd be the first to admit that he's completely different. But I think you need that at times. You need the fire on the side of the pitch to motivate you, and I think obviously on Saturday it didn't help, but in times this season, I think the fire has definitely led on the pitch and got through.
I just remember asking, I can't remember how it came up, but who the loudest manager was, and I'm sure that we just throw Andy under the bus. It wasn't me that came up with it. I'm in here with you on a Saturday. I've not got a clue what goes on. Thanks very much to Tom for sharing his happiness at the way it's going for St Mirren this season. How does that separation work then? We joked there about Joe Shaughnessy, the club captain. You're the captain on the pitch at the moment. How does the separation of responsibilities fall?
Joe's actually obviously been playing the last few games as well. Joe's came back in, and Joe's a leader. Joe deals with everything off the pitch. My responsibilities this year have just been having the captain's armband when he's not been playing. That's all I've had to do. As I stated before, I think the team's full of experience and big characters, and it's old cliche, isn't it, 11 captains, but there's not much to do except try and lead by example.
That a nice sort of pat in the back for you though then to get that nod, because I was thinking that you could look through that team and if Joe wasn't playing, there would be a few sort of contenders. What did that do for your confidence that you got the nod to take the armband?
Definitely it was I think the first game I got it was in one of the Betfred Cup games against Airdrie, and I was a bit surprised. Obviously I was just in the door as players that had been there, but the manager's obviously worked with me before, and I'm not the loudest person, but I like to think that I lead by example in other ways, and I'm thankful he's trusting me.
Because I don't mind telling people sometimes what goes on in the breaks. It sort of sums up how Mark and Gordon operate, that the first thing they asked you was, are you going to negotiate a good bonus if you get into Europe? That's what these guys think about. You know what I mean? Is that going to be your job then in the next few weeks? You're going to have to start chapping some doors.
I think along with the players, obviously me and Joe get together and we'll see.
He's going to be on the Joe, remember, you're the club captain, Joe.
Joe can do that.
Get up there. Bet you loved that stuff.
Brilliant.
Oh, honestly,
I did.
I bet you were the type of guy though that went in as a captain and cut your own deal and came out and said to the boys, by the way, I've got us a great deal, and you've took a good few quid. Look at me smiling.
Do you know what I hate about you? You know me so well.
Exactly. I knew you'd do that.
See if Jimmy went like that. Listen, there's only so much in the pot. Me and you'll take the big bit of the cake and give them a wee bit. Everybody's happy.
Can you believe he used to be a manager as well, Mark? You can't believe it.
Terrible. 01419511025. Let's bring in Stevie, who's going to move it away from St Mirren for a bit, which is absolutely fine. Mark's been in the spotlight for quite some time. I can sense he's sweating under the pressure of the heat in here as well. Why is it so unbearably warm in here? Have you noticed that?
I'm all right, I've got a big hoodie on.
What colour would we call that? Is that your camel hoodie?
It's camel hoodie.
He's getting his money's worth out of that. You've got that one
a few times. Stevie is on the line. Stevie, what's your point tonight?
First of all, congratulations to Mark O'Hara and St Mirren for making top six. Excellent.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
My point is the fixture list is basically a slap in the face to most Celtic fans. There'll be maybe 1,000, 1,200 tickets for Tynecastle. Obviously, nothing the following week because of the ongoing situation. So, what I would do if I was in charge of Celtic is I'd open up the lounges, charge 10 or 15 quid, throw in a voucher for a drink at the bar, a pie, a programme, whatever, and have some guy on before, after the game, be a bit of entertainment, you know, make some money. And if it doesn't happen in Tynecastle, then do it the following week.
We've had suggestions for league reconstruction. We've now got sort of corporate hospitality suggestions.
Events
from
manager Stevie.
Celtic, Peter Lowell, if you're listening, give Stevie a phone. He's got it all figured out.
Jumbo screen on the halfway line. Remember they used to do that for away European games?
A beam back.
I've
heard that phrase in a while.
Mark,
this does go back to what we're sort of discussing at the start of the show, where I get where Stevie's frustration comes from, and I'd probably feel that way as well if that was the team. But to say, you know, it's a slap in the face to the Celtic fans when we've got Mark O'Hara in here saying, St Mirren are now going to need to go to Pittodrie. That's what you said, wasn't it? For a third time. St Mirren are the only team in the top six not to get a game in Sky. There are no bottom six games selected for TV at the moment. That it's so multi-layered, this. And again, I'm not saying that this is okay. It's not perfect. But you've got the clubs in the SPFL have all signed themselves up. They've hitched themselves to this notion that you can only broadcast four times per ground, right, on TV. You've got then, I guess sometimes we'll never really know how much impact, particularly if we're talking about that fixture, what police want to do. You've got the SPFL who sort of have their dates for various things in mind. So there's so many layers to it that whilst it has caused a scenario where Celtic fans are annoyed that more of them won't get to see the title being won, it's next to impossible to accurately label it as this like deliberate slap in the face to the Celtic
fans.
No,
it's never deliberate, but they can feel hard done by. But you look at all sets of fans in this league at the minute, they probably feel hard done by as well. Well, look at Hearts right away. Hearts are going, trying to establish third place. They've got Celtic coming right away. Would they prefer that? Another fixture, maybe. You look at Aberdeen, we chatted about Aberdeen, who are going for third place and they're having to visit Celtic Park. And then we've got Mark here standing next to us, who so much at stake for a club like St Mirren financially, and compared to where they finish in the league, that is a much bigger deal. But that's not taking anything away from Steve, and the Celtic fans want to see their team win the league. Of course they are, but I'm afraid that they may just have to wait, or they may just have to celebrate it like Stevie suggests, watching it in some, you know, joint location and then celebrating by themselves when it happens.
Would you take a Mark Wilson Q&A on the day, Stevie, or is that scraping the barrel of a
send my fee, Stevie?
I like Mark Wilson, but I don't.
I knew there was a buck coming.
£5,000, Stevie, I'm yours.
If Henrik Larsson, Lubo Moravcik, Chris Sutton, Hoopy the Huddle Hound, the old groundsman, the tea lady, etc., can't do it.
Cross ass Trevor Sinclair, all the guys
that
played
knocked back
the
for that charity game. He's still bitter about that.
The old legends ones popped up again.
If they can't make it, I'll jump in.
I think, like everything though, when you've got discussions like we said between clubs, between league governing body, broadcasters, police, us mere mortals, we're never going to get the full story, which is annoying. But yeah, I can understand why. But it would be nice to know, for instance, is there a scenario where TV companies went to a team and said, well, we've already been to you four times, can we come back a fifth? Maybe a club knocked that back. You know, there's always these things that we'll never fully know. So for all the, and I did it myself when I saw the fixture list, when you say that's a disgrace, why is that game not on TV? Maybe the question was asked. Maybe the club who was at home on that occasion said, nah, you've been four times.
You would like to think so. You would, because there are some huge games and not only the top six but the bottom six. You know, you've got the final game of the season. You've got Kilmarnock v Ross County. How crucial could that be?
I mean, that's got to be a big frustration, hasn't it?
A huge frustration. And then you look at the middle game, Hearts v Aberdeen. I mean, come on, that's the race for third. It's a huge game. So you would like to think it was the case, but we're not in the room, so we don't know what discussions are actually taking place.
By the way, it took its time as well. What was the sticking? Everybody knew the top six didn't even change. You know, Livy didn't force their way in. Hearts, Hibs and St Mirren stayed there. I wonder what was this big dramatic sticking point that took an extra day to come up with the fixture list that people are still not happy about.
They must have known they had the problem, a real problem, when they looked at all the fixtures, what they've got left to play, home and aways, TV games.
Are we dismissing Stevie's opinion about or his plan? Is that possible?
I mean, I don't know. Right?
Why asking, you want a cut of Stevie's event business?
No. But if I'll get back to it.
Mike says, tell Stevie there is a beam back at the Kerrydale Suite, £15 a ticket. There he are. There he H go. Is on. Celtic have already organised.
Stevie's been beat. Stevie's ideas.
Stevie stole it off of somebody else.
Stevie, £15 apparently. You happy with that?
He'll get that down your tenner.
Well, I think, see the point about the slap in the face, that's maybe a bit strong. What I'm trying to say is, it's really disappointing that 60,000 Celtic fans pay a season ticket and don't get a chance to see their team win in the league after a long, hard season.
But this is where I think you actually might. The reason that nobody's mentioning it is because it's just presumed that Celtic will beat Hearts, and it's then, if not then, assumed that they'll beat Rangers. And I get that. I don't think would you find anybody who thinks Celtic are going to come away with 0 points from two games? Yeah. I don't think so. But factually, officially, you know, that's why there's I said it earlier, there's a level of kind of cherry picking goes on, but not completely.
No, I know. But how could you? How could you, you know, completely cherry pick and favour one set of fans over the rest? But again, I'm not taking anything away from how the Celtic fans feel. Of course they will be. Of course winning the championship is the greatest achievement in the league. But there are other things up for grabs. Celtic are going to win the league, will win the league. But I'll go back to Mark Stan. Next is, where they finish could determine their future for many years to come.
Thank you, Stevie. Good time to call. 01419511025. We'll try and get you on next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
In the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL here as always, and Mark O'Hara has joined us, the St Mirren captain. Sorry, Joe Shaughnessy. He's joined us this evening to look back on St Mirren clinching the top six. And I was going to say a successful season, but he's very quick to remind us that it's not over yet and still plenty to achieve. The guys were asking you there, Mark, how many goals you've scored against Celtic this season. So you've got 5 against Celtic and Rangers this season from not a particularly attacking area of the pitch. Must be delighted with the way that the big games have gone to a point. Personally, I know you'd have always rather pick up more points.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's we've been unlucky in games. I think obviously Celtic, most recent Celtic game, we got a man sent off right before half time. We were winning. Rangers, we were 2 each with 10 minutes to go, and even Celtic the Scottish Cup, it was 1-0, and we got a man sent off, 1 or 2-0, maybe we got a man sent off right in it. And yeah, we've definitely gave them a goal, and we've played them for them this season.
Is there's been a lot of sort of arguments made in the last few weeks about the gap and how tough it is. I wonder if you at St Mirren have really felt that, because I know you've done brilliantly, you're the only team that's beaten Celtic, but as you mentioned, there are other games where you're really, really in it, and then all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, they win by 3 or 4 goals. And I think the Celtic games in particular, I remember thinking that at the time, and then the Rangers one was really similar a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think when you look at the strength of the squads, isn't it, and that's maybe where the 5-sub rule hasn't benefited teams like ourselves, whereas Celtic and Rangers are bringing on, I don't know, £1 million players, and they're freshening their up. They're not making, weakening their team by making subs, and it makes it so much harder for ourselves. Whereas when we played Rangers last time, we were missing a few players. The squad was quite thin, and they're bringing on at 2 weeks. They're bringing on 3-4 players that they've spent great money on. They'd be worth more than our full squad. So, yeah, it's tough.
I mean, that said though, beating Celtic and drawing with Rangers and all that sort of stuff is not bad going at all. Well, that, and I know there's still a lot to achieve, so it could be Europe and all the rest of it. But, and by the way, Celtic might not keep up this record, but will there be a real sense of achievement if you are the only team that ends up beating the champions come the end of the season?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's it shows our qualities, and I think when Celtic played us, they've always had a tough game this season. I think that's something the managers fed into us, that there's no point in sitting back here. We're going to have a go, and it's been successful once, and hopefully it can be successful again.
There's always one, you can always kind of pinpoint Mark the team out with that gives the big two the hardest time over a season, and I think results would tell you it has to be St Mirren this season.
St Mirren have played their part in some big moments of the season. You think when Rangers came to town and Giovanni van Bronckhorst, obviously Ange Postecoglou tasted defeat and they rotated some of his squad that day, but St Mirren were absolutely excellent, and they have been in the games. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago we were standing in here and, you know, we're having a go at Rangers, and rightly so, because they're the home team. They've got an abundance of talent that Mark's just mentioned there, worth millions of pounds. In theory, they should win their home games. But St Mirren were right in it. They make the changes. Of course, it looks like they won easy, but St Mirren were terrific again that day. So in the big moments, they've performed. And a big moment was a couple of weeks ago, Livy, you know, at home, huge game, and dealt with the pressure and that. So a terrific season. But when you play well against the big teams, and like Mark here scores five goals against them, I mean, you obviously take some personal pride in a performance like that when you look back when the season's over and done with, and you can sit back on holiday and think, some season.
Well, you know, excuse me, you know, when you're a team like St Mirren, Motherwell, Kilmarnock, whatever it may be, Rangers and Celtic really aren't your bread and butter. But the bonus comes is if you can go and get points, go and score against them, the most important thing, because a lot of teams just sit in and hope for a 0-0, but obviously this man's got a knack of scoring.
That's a fair point, because you know, well, what do we always hear? Our season won't be defined by games. Yeah. You take off your points that you've got against Celtic and Rangers this season, you're not in the top six.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was something we've looked at even the start of this week. We've took points off all teams in the top six this season, so we're targeting to obviously do the same after the split.
Absolutely. Stefan says, how does it feel knowing you'll never have to buy a pint in Paisley again? I praise. And I suppose in a more serious slant on that is Mr. Zoe. Have you enjoyed visiting the schools and the local community? Have you noticed the impact of the bigger crowds as the season unfolded?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something I think it's something we're priding ourselves on this year is the community club. And I'm local, I'm from Barrhead, and it's good to see that the clubs will involve the community around about that.
What was that like to see the sellout of the weekend? Because another favourite topic on this show, because we're so dominated by the big two, when a club outside that cuts the ticket allocation, there's fury that we want more, want more away fans in. And you understand parts of it, but I remember Keith Lasley speaking on it, and Alan Burrows has done it at Motherwell before, and other clubs where it's about trying to sort of foster something bigger going forward. Is that something you were aware of?
Yeah, I think it was obviously well documented at the time, and it's definitely helped us. Obviously, as we said, we beat Celtic at home, we beat Rangers at home, and there's no surprise that the crowd made a difference. Like if we had three stands on our side, definitely helped pushing us over the finish line. And if that was two Celtic and Rangers stands, I think it could have been very different at times. And I think even looking at the stats from last year, the attendances were actually up because there's more home fans there. The crowds are bigger than what they were when it was two Old Firm stands. So, yeah, it's definitely helped us.
And looking to the future, because you've obviously extended the contract, David says, David Healy, what are the main reasons behind extending that? I like it. He then tries to sort of throw you under the bus. Do you think Curtis Charles and the manager will do the same? I think he's looking for an exclusive off you.
I would love nothing more. It's I think that obviously the two players and the manager have been massive for us this year. And yeah, I would love to see that sorted in a couple of weeks, because they've been key for us.
How pleasing was it for your own situation as well? Because like it's on the outside, maybe we forget it's easy, you know, and when your form dips, people will want you out, sort of thing. Yeah. So how good is it to have the, and I don't mean you personally, I mean generally, to have that sort of security and know that you're loved where you are?
No, it's massive. Obviously, I'm very happy that the club's put the trust in me, and it's about me now obviously repaying them back, and hopefully I've done that in the last few weeks and going to do it for foreseeable. And the club does mean a lot to me. As I said, I'm local, and I know a lot of St Mirren fans close to me, and they're happy and pushing me, and no, it's a great club to be a part of.
So Mark, you're getting people, the other Mark Wilson, you're getting people getting in touch with you saying that this guy's never out the gym and they see him all the time. He must be some sort of model professional. He really doesn't fit in between you two in here, I must admit.
I was going to say a bit like myself in my playing days. Not so much now.
Yeah, in your playing days.
Not so much now. And this guy to the left of you, Mark, never seen a gym in his life, did he?
Mostly in the bakery now. Listen, I'm a very fit, keep fit guy.
A very keep fit guy.
A very keep fit guy. That
yeah. Have a look at the two of us. We're built like tanks, me and this man.
Anyway, how much do you enjoy that? Because everybody that you know has been getting in touch, kind of talking about your sort of dedication, that sort of thing. Is that something you've always done? Have you upped it recently? What's the mindset?
No, I've probably always done it. I think this season's probably the best run I've had with injuries as well. When I've been at Motherwell the last few seasons, I've had a few bad injuries. And
someone did tweet about that, but I thought I would ignore it. It was politeness for you, but there you go.
Yeah, no, and everything seemed to fall into place this season. And I've worked hard for it, and I'm hopefully going to reap the rewards in the future.
Good. Well, there we are. That was very quick. I thought we could have extended
that.
Very quick.
I'll see you Thursday.
Come in Thursday, would you?
It was good.
It makes a pass. Take me off, you
know. Oh, yeah. Get a shot.
If Anna told you to, you're on half a showfie because he's here.
Oh, listen, that's not a problem.
Because he's you have not heard you in the last 40 minutes.
I know.
It's the best you've sounded.
I think a lot of people out there are very happy with that situation.
Yeah, anyway, big thanks to St Mirren's Mark O'Hara for joining us. Really enjoyed his insight. Thank you to everyone who got in touch. We'll give a small thank you to Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale for joining us. As always, we are back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. A busy old day in Scottish football this was, so maybe we'll have some spillover onto tomorrow as we pick up some of the issues that we didn't get round to today. And who knows what tomorrow will bring. Cammy Bell and Simon Donnelly will be here. Make sure you join us. And Callum Gallagher is up next.